It's story time for the Simply Abundant VIP podcast group, where clients share their journey in their own words.
Welcome, everybody. This is one of the audios that we are doing on a monthly basis where I have somebody who comes in and shares their story pertaining to one of the podcasts. Because obviously, if you listen to my podcast, you're listening to my story all the time. And you're listening to my secondhand stories about my clients. And so this is an opportunity to actually hear from my clients who are telling their stories in relation to the topic. And so we just randomly choose one of the podcast topics, usually one that has the most meaning to the client. And so today I have brought on board, well, first off, the topic is the difficulty of authenticity because, hello, that is like sometimes trying to shove a large object through a small hole because most of us are so accustomed to the patterns and the belief system that we have, and I don't even mean accustomed, we are in autopilot with it, that we don't even know how to be authentic. We don't even know who we authentically are. And so we have a lot of constructs that we've created about what authenticity is. And a lot of people think authenticity means I'm just positive, I'm always happy, something along those lines, when authenticity is the good, bad, and ugly, and owning it. So here with me today to talk about her story around authenticity is Alexis Reed. So welcome, Alexis.
Hi, happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here too. So just tell us a little bit of background, and you can even include, you know, reasons you first came to me as a client. Whatever you're comfortable with, go for it.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I am talking to you from the Midwest, born and raised there. Came to Tracy approximately a year and a half ago because of a situation that I could no longer, quote unquote, control myself, which I wasn't able to at any time, but I was going through a divorce and a long-standing marriage. I had been through years of psychotherapy and decided to try something a little different. And because of my work with Tracy, I feel I've really turned a corner, and now I'm studying to be a coach under Tracy, and it's really fabulous.
Yay!
Yay!
And that is awesome.
Yeah, it's been a long road, and I'm still discovering things daily.
Yep.
But I'm not as afraid of those discoveries as I once was.
And that is huge, because that's really what holds everybody back is fear. So,
I agree.
Yeah. And that's, you know, even when it comes to the topic we're going to be talking about, the difficulty of authenticity, the thing that keeps people from being authentic is fear. So if you were, Alexis, to look at, you know, situations you've come across with yourself on your own journey and, you know, let's say it's family, friends, intimate relationship, you know, along any of those lines, because those are usually the difficult ones, especially intimate relationships and family, where you've had trouble being authentic, you know, where you've had trouble owning your stuff or wanting to pretend that stuff didn't exist. And instead, you wanted to make sort of like an altered reality real rather than who you are real. And as I'm talking, is there any stories that you could share about that struggle for authenticity in those certain relationships where you felt like if you owned your stuff, then that would make them able to blame you or that would make them able to hurt you in some fashion?
Well, the first thing that comes up for me, of course, was my marriage. There was a lot of family control because we were involved in a family business with several siblings and parents, my in-laws, very, very much in control of everything. So I pretty much, when I realized that this was the way that it was, I was already a parent and you know, ingrained in the whole family, suburban life, which was very comfortable. And I was, you know, very much caught up in what people thought of me and that whole scenario. And so I pretty much put myself on cruise control and lived most of my life in expectation of the future, of when this would be over and would go to retirement and, you know, everything would be okay because we had, quote unquote, survived this. I didn't think enough of myself to really put myself before anybody. I was just one of the players in the game.
Okay. So with that said, how has that shifted for you? You know, I know you're no longer in the marriage, but how mm-hmm. has that approach to living shifted for you?
Well, it was very difficult because when my marriage broke down, I realized that I really had no identity of self. And that was really scary. So I, little by little, chipped away at it and tried to figure out what I was really so freaking afraid of, my feelings. And I just started to slowly, you know, layer by layer, kind of uncover that and take small steps, you know, small steps in allowing people to see me. Mm-hmm. And one by one, you know, then I could do bigger, take bigger steps. And I realized that most people really didn't give a shit about me. And it doesn't really matter what they think of me anyways, because I know what I think of me. And at the time, I didn't think much of me. And after I kept stepping through doors and taking more emotional risks of being vulnerable and letting people know who I am, everything just kind of compounds, and or it compounded, and I realized that people would like me for who I was, and it took up a lot less energy to be who I really am instead of trying to be somebody I'm not, because I'm worried about validation from somebody, you know, externally, when I really needed my own validation.
Right. And that's a hard thing to do, to self-validate, because we usually have a bunch of expectations and obstacles in the way of, well, I can't accept myself until I am this way, or I have this, or my life mm-hmm. looks like this, right?
Yes. I was very much caught up in that.
Right. And so when you were caught up in it, the last thing you were doing was owning who you are. And so let's say in any past dating situations since you've been divorced, how have you gone about owning your stuff, or have you not been able to own your stuff and be authentic?
It has been very difficult to just state who I am and not worry about what somebody else is going to think. I can't be involved in trying to be in some fantasy of trying to decide what somebody else wants. I'm done with all that. So now I'm just who I am, and I'm looking for a long-term relationship. I'm not into hooking up, so I don't have any problem telling people that right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Play any kind of games, or, you know, get to the third date and kick them out of my house or whatever. So it's really freeing of my energy. I have a lot more energy, and I'm not afraid to tell people who I am. And if, you know, if they don't like me or that's not what they're looking for, well, okay, thanks or good luck.
So you actually, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you don't actually mm-hmm. feel a sense of rejection then if someone says, hey, you know, I'm not interested, or I don't want to go there. And what I mean by that also is a sense of rejection of authentically who you are.
No, I do not feel that.
So you're not taking them personally.
I'm not taking it personal, but I did up until probably a year ago. Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure it out.
Right. Because when it comes to accepting yourself, what was one of the hardest things for you to accept about yourself?
Well, I have some pretty high expectations. And I think that I always thought I was never thin enough or pretty enough or didn't have enough degrees or initials after my name. And I think that those things have been the most difficult but the most rewarding to accept in myself. Mm-hmm. That I'm great how I am.
Right. And, you know, because one of the things, too, I know with most of us who are recovering perfectionists, becoming authentic is really difficult when you're looking at it through the lens of not just the expectations you have of the world, you know, and yourself, but also the expectations of outcomes, right?
Yes.
That you can get so tied up in that that you can't be authentic because you're busy trying to manipulate or strategize to get that outcome. So when I say that, is there anything that you can share along the lines of perhaps how you have either stopped or slowed down on the strategy, you know, gotten out of your head? Like, what have you done in terms of that?
I would say the first thing that comes to my mind is I've stopped people pleasing. Mm-hmm. I just please myself now, and not in a selfish way. I was brought up that if you were to act that way, that you were, that was self-centered and narcissistic to always put yourself first. And now I'm realizing that it's really self-love. Mm-hmm. To take care of yourself on an emotional level. I used to think that self-love meant getting a massage or you know, buying new makeup or something like that. Again, something to make myself look better. And I'm realizing that, no, it's saying no when you really don't want to go out and taking good care of yourself emotionally. Having boundaries, say, for instance, in dating, where you're not going to feel shitty about yourself afterwards if you go along to do something with someone to people please.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can you give any examples or any stories around that?
People pleasing?
Yeah, people pleasing and not doing it, or people pleasing and the results, you know, of some story where you look back and you're like, wow, if I would have not been people pleasing, I would have had this result or the possibility of other results.
I think that my people pleasing, it goes back to going along with something and then thinking that it wasn't probably good for me to do, like later on not feeling good about myself. An example, let me think. Well, are we talking in the dating world or just anything?
Anything relatable to anybody else, you know what I mean? It doesn't really matter if it's dating or not, because just to give a little bit of clarity to not just you, but to everybody, these mm-hmm. patterns go across all parts of our lives. Mm-hmm. It's just we are more triggered in the intimate relationships or family relationships. Mm-hmm. And so that's where most of us see this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I would say most recently, people pleasing, going along with a group and doing something that I really didn't want to do. When I knew that I needed to take care of myself because maybe I had a big day the next day, but I went along with it because I was afraid, maybe from scarcity, that my friends wouldn't include me the next time. And when you're alone and, you know, newly divorced, well, it's been four years, from a long-term marriage, you know, you kind of get afraid, like, I lost a lot of friends from the divorce, so now I've got to make sure that I, you know, have a circle of friends because I don't want to be without a social life.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know, that was something that was hard for me to figure out. And now I just take care of myself and it everything works out. I have plenty of opportunity to go out and do what I want. Mm-hmm. I focus on the present instead of, you know, going off and, you know, like daydreaming about, you know, or having expectations about my, you know, the future.
Right.
If that makes sense. Another thing that comes to mind is when, back when we were raising my daughter, there were lots of things, well, a couple things that as a parent, I wanted to decide together things that she wanted to do. And it never, you know, I ended up people pleasing because my spouse had his own ideas and that's the way it was. Mm-hmm. So I would go along with it because the confrontation, it just wasn't worth it. And in the end, usually the outcome was that, you know, what his decision was usually what happened. So toward the end of my marriage, I didn't voice my opinion. Mm-hmm. And my daughters turned out to be very successful. But I think back and I think if she had struggled because of his decisions, I would take that to heart and feel very much a failure that I wasn't stronger. So I feel that was a form of people pleasing just to keep the peace.
Right. Without knowing. Go ahead.
It didn't make me feel very good afterward.
Right.
Because I felt like I really didn't have a say so in how she was being raised. Even though I did, I was her mother, but there were certain things that were important to me that we came together as a couple decisions, and I was just disregarded or dismissed.
Right. And that, of course, led back to when you were a child, right? When your emotions, your opinion were dismissed, right?
Yes.
So, yes. You know, and it's interesting because in making these kind of changes to your life, it's fascinating how when you do look back and you see these things, and at the time it didn't seem like something, or it didn't seem so major, and then you look back and you're like, wow, I could have really had an impact on my daughter. It's not to beat yourself up or feel guilty about it either. And that's part of being authentic. It's to go, hey, you know what? I had the skills I had at the time. I had the tools I had at the time. And that's it. So, you know, so is there anything else that you could offer to people listening about, you know, your journey of becoming more authentic, even on a daily basis, you know, how you daily are doing it or through these relationships, you know, any relationships, anything you want to leave everybody with here?
Well, I still catch myself many times going, you know, I'll catch myself in a thought pattern and then I'll say, wow, that's, you know, you're thinking about people pleasing her or you know, that's not really good self-care. It's funny because I can catch myself going down that road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't feel good. And, you know, when I catch myself going down that road too, I realize I'm in my head. And then when I drop my focus down into my body and I feel into it, I know the answer right away. It's so simple, but we're programmed, I believe, just to always be in our heads. Thinking, you know, and I would say that that's the biggest thing is that I catch myself now and I can kind of draw myself back.
Right. That's good. That's really great because it's though you've changed a pattern, right? Instead of the normal reaction, you've changed your reaction, which puts you much more in control of your emotional state.
Totally. When somebody does something now that, you know, is, I would, 10 years ago, would have thought very rude, I would immediately, you know, back in the day, go off and get in my head about it and make up a story and, all kinds of crazy stuff. And now I just can say, wow, you know, that person is having a bad day, or, you know, I don't personalize it anymore. I'd say that's the biggest change.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can see that that would be a huge change, because you now have space emotionally and space mentally for change to be available to you. In other words, change is always there, but we're not available to it because we have so much shit in our heads that, mm-hmm. you know, it just takes up too much space, and we don't have any space emotionally because we're busy holding on to all sorts of old crap that there's no room.
Exactly.
So, you know, to me, it sounds like a lot more emotional freedom in being authentically who you are. And finding,
yes.
And also finding that out on your journey. Because when you began your journey, you pretty much didn't know who you were. You were saying, you know, when your marriage ended, it's like, well, who am I? So it's a step-by-step process, and it's not a mm-hmm. linear path. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you look at yourself today, I'm guessing that you see yourself from such a completely different perspective as far as learning and knowing who you are.
Yes. Yes. It was terrifying when I realized that I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. It really was. And occasionally I run into an old acquaintance, and not everybody's, you know, remarks to me about that they see a change in me, but I would say that people have remarked to me recently, wow, you look really happy.
Nice.
And just say, thanks, I am.
I like that.
You know,
awesome.
with no remark about the divorce or that story or, you know, whatever, you know, I don't care anymore.
That's
about that.
Freaking awesome. I love that.
I know. Yay me.
Right.
But as you just said, it's not a linear path. And but it's worth every day and every moment spent on it.
That's great. I'm so glad. So anyways, I'm thrilled that you've joined me today, Alexis. Thank you for that. And if anybody has any questions or anything, please feel free to post in the Facebook group, the VIP podcast Facebook group, and we'll go ahead and address things in there. You know, Alexis can answer any of your questions there if you have about her story, her journey, any piece or part of it. She'll be happy to answer. And thank you so much for being a part of our group. And Alexis, thank you again for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tracy.
Okay. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.